This is an excerpt from Chapter 5 of The Beleaguered, read by its author, Lynn Golding. Each year, Father produced at least half a dozen cantatas that were performed on Sunday evenings at our church. Always anticipated and well-received was the annual Christmas cantata. For Christmas 1914, Father desired to create a cantata that would include the Christ story, but so much else as well. He desired to produce a cantata that would show the Germans, and anyone else who mattered, that Brampton was carrying on business as usual. The production claimed hundreds of hours of Father's time, hours he spent conceiving the storyline, identifying the characters, writing the dialogue and stage direction, determining the correct musical elements, writing original music and lyrics, and working with a choir and quartet on the performance of the entire score. In the end, the cantata had all new characters, including a wide cast of Christian, Greek, and secular figures. 6 angels, 4 shepherds, hope, charity, a goddess of dreams, a goddess of love, Santa Claus, and a frost king. The cantata required a new stage backdrop, which Father conceived and others constructed. By early December, adjustments were still being made to the costumes, backdrop, speaking lines, and musical score, but with 3 weeks to the performance, Father was convinced it would be complete well beforehand. "It's going to be a triumph," Father said one night at the dinner table, feeling quite self-congratulatory. "I'm sure you are right," Mother said sincerely. "You have outdone yourself this time. No one could ask more of you." But it seemed someone could. "Let me get straight to the point," Mr. Handel, Father's friend and one of the church elders, said. "We know how much you've done on the cantata. Tickets are nearly sold out, and there are still 2.5 weeks to go. The town is abuzz over the new production, but I've been asked by the elders to see if we could impose on you a little further. First of all, we'd like a second performance of the cantata. We think we can sell the church pews twice over." Father was quite amenable to that. "The second request is that the proceeds from the second production go to the Red Cross Belgian Relief Fund." These were not funds to come from Father's pocket, so he did not object. "And the third request, we'd like you to add an opening act to the performance. We would like something a bit more patriotic." Now, Father was offended. He never liked it when others interfered with his artistic direction. "A bit more patriotic? Our motto at this time is business as usual. The cantata is patriotic," Father cried. "We were thinking of something that might involve, perhaps, a flag or two," Mr. Handel replied. "Perhaps an anthem. Rule Britannia? Something like that?" "I'm sorry, Handel," Father said defiantly. "That is really not in keeping with the spirit of a Christian Christmas cantata." "Young man," Mr. Handel replied, "you have Santa Claus in there, a goddess of dreams. You've stepped a fair way away from the Book of Luke. In this year, at this time, you could go a little further." The calm Father felt 3 days earlier vanished within moments of Mr. Handel's departure. "Get me some paper, Mother," Father bellowed, as he set himself up once again at the dining room table. When we came down to breakfast the next day, the table was strewn with musical notes, stage directions, and costume drawings. At 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, December 22, 1914, Mr. Duggan, the superintendent of the Sunday school, quieted the audience. Every pew in the church was full. With no more fanfare, he asked the audience, "Who's for the flag?" As he stepped aside, 8 men in red British grenadier coats entered the sanctuary. Marching up the main aisle, each carrying a rifle, they began a patriotic chorus, one tenor singing the solo parts, the other joining in the chorus. As they positioned themselves in a semicircle on the makeshift stage at the front of the church, 2 figures emerged. The first wearing a large Union Jack impersonated John Bull, the imaginary British recruitment officer. Then, waving a large red ensign, another man played Jack Canuck, the Canadian equivalent. The crowd applauded heartily as the 8 men sang Tipperary while they marched back down the aisle. Moments later, the choir began singing the first 2 verses of Rule Britannia as 15 of the church's Boy Scouts marched into the sanctuary, variously wearing shirts of red, white, and blue. Their leader, waving a Union Jack, ushered them to one side. The choir ceased singing, and the orchestra played the first chorus of the Belgian national anthem. 12 children marched into the sanctuary, wearing shirts matching the colors of the flag of the Kingdom of Belgium. The performance was repeated for La Marseillaise and then the Russian national anthem. Finally, the last 12 children entered, the final verse of Rule Britannia being sung again. Once all 60 children were at the front of the sanctuary, the audience stood with the children and sang the Canadian national anthem. Standing directly across from them at this point, I heard Mr. Handel say to Mr. Duggan as they returned to their seated positions, "He really outdid himself, didn't he?"